1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that these simple Bible principles will help us, Lord, each and every one, to use the Word of God to strengthen our marital relationships. Lord, guard the marriages here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray, Lord, that every husband would just love their wives, be very kind, gracious to their wives, and every wife would love her husband to be very kind and gracious to him. And Lord, may there be a sweetness about each and every marriage, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Husband's responsibilities towards his wife. We studied several things last week. Let me just read them. I won't reteach them, but let me remind you by reading them to you. Number one, a husband is to give his wife security. Security, by the way, is very important for a lady, by often reminding her that he is married to her for life. Let me just give you a quick rule that you ought to pass in your household. The D word should never be mentioned in your household. The D word is off limits. The D word is not allowed in your household, ever, ever. Just make that agreement as a husband and wife that that word will not be uttered in jest, no kidding, in frustration. That is not going to be uttered between us, and I'm talking about the word divorce. Just take it out of the equation. Take it off the table, okay? And that would be a help to you. Number two, a husband should remind himself often of how blessed he is to have a wife, how God's favor is extended to him for her sake. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Number three, a husband is to give due benevolence to his wife, to not defraud her. A husband needs to maintain a healthy, active, intimate relationship with his wife, one that is enjoyable and satisfying to both. This protects both from fornication. Number four, a husband is to provide leadership in the relationship, providing his wife with a spiritual example and providing the home a spiritual direction. Number five, a husband is to love his wife enough to die for her if necessary. And number six, a husband is to place his wife and their relationship as the most important of all human relationships. A wife is loved and should be loved only second to God. Number seven, we ended up with this thought that a husband is to learn his wife. And we got this out of 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, let's give you number 8. Get right into it and keep going forward, okay? This verse also teaches us that a husband is to honor his wife. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, this word honor is the same word that is used when a child is commanded to honor his parents, and we are also commanded in the Scripture to give honor to whom honor is due. It's a sacred word. It's a good word. It means in every opportunity that you have, you ought to express both privately and publicly their value to you. You know, let me just help you men with I don't care who you are. You're going to get in a situation where some woman is being overly flirtatious. Now, I know that that's shocking when you look around at some of the men in our church, and but some of you are looking like, that's never happened to me. Really? That happens to men? Where do they go? let me just give you this. I tell you, it works every single time. If I feel like a lady is being too friendly or overly friendly or beginning to be a little flirtatious, I always, always bring my wife up immediately somehow. If she says something about, man, you look good, I'll say, I'll tell you what, my wife took good care of me. I wouldn't even know what to wear if she didn't lay it out for me. I got a great wife. Now listen, guys, just take it off the table. Just listen, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? So don't play with fire. And so anytime that you feel like someone's just, and maybe sometimes, you know, maybe I just misread them. I'm probably very, very overly careful, but so what? I just honored my wife. If she had no ill intent, I still had an opportunity to honor my wife. And so I'm telling you, that will take care of almost every situation every single time. Because I want to send a message loud and clear to everybody that, you know what, I am a one-woman man, and that one woman sits right over there. And so just diffuse situations like that. And that brings her honor. Number nine, in this same verse, we're reminded that a husband is to remember that his wife is the weaker vessel and protect her from those things that she is not able to carry. Now, ladies, I understand that there is strengths in your life that may be stronger than your husband. The Bible specifically is talking about the vessel, it's talking about the body, but I think it goes beyond that. I'll just say this, men, you know what? We're just built. We're built physically, mentally, and emotionally to carry a heavier load than our wives are. Okay? And by the way, gals, relax. Stop competing. Some of you look mad at me, like, you know, how dare you say that? I'm tougher than my husband. You scare me. But you know what? Enjoy that fact. Enjoy it. I mean, you know what? If you're having a little trouble opening something, make him open it. Honey, I can't lift this. Would you get this for me? Would you do this? You know, even if you could open it, just let him open it sometimes. I'll take care of that. There you go. The honest truth is she had it undone, and then she thought, I haven't made him feel special for a while. So she tightened it real hard so that you had to struggle a little bit with it. And most men will get it open. We'll get it open somehow, because then we have to, you know. If we have to use a sledgehammer, if we have to use our shotgun, but we're going to open that thing somehow. But now, I mean this. You know, men, carry some things. Listen, let me just give you this. There's a weight that comes with the ministry that a pastor carries. But let me say this. There's a weight that comes with life that every man carries. So I'm not just saying if this is only true if you're a pastor. But you know what? There's things that happen here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that I go home and tell my wife, and there's things that happen that I don't go home and tell my wife about. You know why? Because most guys, honestly, if something happens, there's a problem, there's a conflict, there's whatever, you know what? You'll deal with it. You'll process it. You know, you'll get over it pretty quick. And probably the next time you run into the person you had a conflict with, you know, you'll both kind of say, hey, I was an idiot. I'm sorry. You know, don't worry about it. You go home and give it to your wife and put it on her, and she's going to carry it. And so why? I'm just saying, you know, if your husband comes home and you say to him, what's the matter? And say, nothing, dear. Well, yes, there is. You need to tell me. No, he doesn't always need to tell you. Okay? Sometimes he just needs to carry it. Sometimes he just needs to protect you. And some of you run home to your, I don't want to be unkind here, but you run home to your wife and tell them too much. It's not your mother, it's your wife. Okay? So you don't need to tell her everything. There's going to be some people that say sometimes hurtful things. Why in the world would you go home and put that weight on your wife? Why would you say anything to her about her? It's not necessary. What I'm saying is this. As a husband, you protect your wife. Okay, when we said earlier that you learn her. And so I know my wife, I've learned my wife. I know especially there's areas that's very tender to her, and areas and things that and that would be difficult for her to have to deal with. And you know what? She don't have to deal with it. I'll deal with it. I'll carry it. And so protect her, okay? And that's what the Bible's saying there. Then I love this phrase, and I know we're getting several out of this verse, but I love this. I wish you'd underline it or highlight it in your Bible. A husband should remember that God has allowed a husband and wife to be heirs together of the grace of life. I love that phrase. Isn't that amazing? Did you think about that? You know what? Life is a grace, and there's a lot of grace that is distributed to us through the process of life. Heirs together of the grace of life. So God, when he puts a man and wife together, what he's saying is, now I'm going to allow you to be heirs together of all of the grace of life. And what that means is this. Gentlemen, you should include your wife in every way that you possibly can so that life is lived together and enjoyed together, not apart. I don't think that's wrong for a man to have some interest and a wife to have some interest. I don't think it's wrong for sometimes him to go this way and her to go this way. But most of the things in life ought to be joint, as much as possible, ought to be enjoyed together. And so I don't like this. And you know, you're going to have to work things out, but I promise you, you're hurting your wife. When you, every single time something comes up and every time there's an opportunity to go somewhere, you're wanting to take off by yourself and you don't take your wife. Take her if you can take her. Take her as much as you can take her. She doesn't want to constantly be sitting at home with you coming home telling about all the things that you enjoyed. She wants to go out and enjoy those things with you. And let me say this too. And we try to do this, and I'm not saying we're batting 1,000 on it, but I really have worked hard in the last 2 or 3 years to try to even unite husband and wife and team them in service areas here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I like it when husbands and wives serve together. Now, we have ladies that teach Sunday school, and maybe a man that does some other aspect of the ministry separate. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to have the ushers start bringing their wives down, okay? I mean, don't get crazy with me about this, although that'd be pretty cool if we did it one time, you know. What I was thinking was this. What we need to do is get the 2 and 3 year olds to take the offering. Dude, we would probably get 5 times more money than if we had adult men. Nobody cares whether or not they give money to adult men, but a little kid will walk up and they'll give you that big smile and they'll hold the plate out and they'll keep holding it out and you'll give them everything you got, you know. Especially if you're a grandparent, you're going to give them everything. So I've been thinking of different things to do, but it's okay to serve separately. But if you look at a lot of the ministries, like right now, in our master's clubs, husband and wife teams are working on our master's clubs. In our bus ministry, I like families to take on bus ministry. In nursing homes, families tend to take that on as a project. What are you doing? You're being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, again, there's going to be times when men go off to work and the ladies stay at home. Men are to work. Ladies are to be keepers at home. There's going to be times when men have this responsibility. And that's okay because, you know, when you're not together, even that gives you an opportunity to come together and share with each other what you experience. So in a sense, you still are heirs together because you share what happened. But as much as possible, you know what? Do things together. Do things together as much as possible and enjoy life together, okay? Let me have you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 19. It's a very interesting admonition here for husbands. I'll be honest with you, I've thought this through, and I don't know if I really have some... I don't know if I am going to do a very good job of expounding on it, so instead I'll just read it. I don't think God would command us to be careful in an area if it was not a tendency or a potential problem. And so let me just read it. You know, there's some parts of the Bible that really apply to you and you get it and you say, and there's some parts of the Bible it's like, I'm not sure I get that. But so let me just read it to you and then whatever the Lord does, He'll do and we'll move to the next one. But Colossians 3:19 says this, husbands, love your wives. And notice what it says here, and be not bitter against them. Now, I'm not sure of all of the reasons. I thought this through, and I'm not even going to give you my short list, because to be honest with you, it's sometimes this sounds crazy, but sometimes you're wanting to teach someone not to be bitter, so you give reasons where you possibly could be bitter, and you really weren't bitter about that, but after the preacher mentions it, you think, you know what, that's right. She needs to shape up in that area, you know. So I'm not going to... I want to be a blessing, not a hindrance here. But gentlemen, I will say this. I have counseled enough to see men who have gotten to a point in their life where they're just bitter against their wives. And let me just tell you this, because I don't understand everything, but I do know this. Bitterness a lot of times is just the result of unfulfilled and sometimes unreasonable expectations. Okay, we have such high expectations sometimes, and then our expectations meet reality. Have you figured out that life isn't a 2-hour love story? You understand that there's difficulties and hardships. Ladies, you understand there's going to be things happening in your husband's life that at times is going to disappoint you. And husbands, sometimes things are going to happen in your lady's life that will disappoint you. And you know what? Don't let a root of bitterness spring up in your heart towards your mate. Well, I just wish she was. Stop that. Stop it. Stop it. I mean it. Stop that. Stop focusing all your attention on the one or two areas that you wish she was different in, and start thanking God for all of the areas she's a blessing in. Because I promise you, if you want to play that game, she can probably come up with a longer list than you have. Okay, nobody's perfect. And nobody is not going to disappoint at times. But the thing about it is, sometimes we spend so much time focusing on one or two areas that we do not take a look at the whole picture and just be thankful in our heart for whom God has given us. Let me give you the last one. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, and then we'll switch over and do a little teaching for a while on some ladies' wives' responsibility to their husbands. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A husband should take the time to consider her point of view and make decisions based on what is best for God first, his wife and children second, then himself third. Let me read that again. A husband should take the time to consider her point of view and make decisions based on what is best for God first, his wife and children second, then himself third. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Selfishness probably causes more marital problems than any other single sin. Let me say it again. Selfishness probably causes more marital problems than any other single sin. A husband should take the time. Listen to your wife. Consider her point of view. I know that, and I'm going to teach this in just a minute, that wives are to submit to their husbands. But you know what? Every time that you don't agree on something, it's not that you're right and she's wrong every time. So don't get stubborn. Listen to her point of view. Listen to how she feels about something. And make a decision with that in mind. Make decisions with your children in mind, with your wife in mind. And guys, you know what? Come on. We're supposed to be tough. Let's worry about us last. Okay, let's worry about us last. That's what it means when it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as who? As himself. And so what the Bible is teaching us there is, you know what? Most of us don't have trouble loving ourselves. A lot of times we have trouble loving our wives as we would love ourselves. Okay, guys, you're off the hook. Take a deep breath. Get a big smile on your face now. The painful part is over. And now we're going to get into our 9-week study of... go to Genesis 2:18. Let me give you point number one. Let your husband go, dear honey. Often, and realize he's going to need to buy some things for that. That's one point. We have 117, but no, number one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. That's two separate words, an helper meet for him, or a helper designed to companion him or company with him as he fulfills the will of God. A wife is to provide companionship and seek to be a help to her husband. I want to share something with you. It's a philosophy. It's a biblical philosophy. Please listen to me and don't throw stones. Don't throw rocks. Think about it from a biblical standpoint. But young ladies, I'm glad that you are allowing God many times to move in your heart. And I think absolutely God moves in the heart of young ladies. And I mean to surrender their will and to surrender their life to the Lord and to his will for their life. But I'm going to say something. We had a young lady, a precious, precious young lady in our church. I mean, I'm just so proud of her. But she and her wanted to come see me, and she brought her mom in, and she said, "Preacher, I really feel like God wants me to be a missionary to China. And I'm just coming in to ask what to do about this." Now, let me share this with you parents so that you understand this. A lot of times, a kid who's wanting to just fully surrender to whatever God would have them to do, what they tend to do is surrender to China or Africa. Because in their minds, that's like the ultimate of everything that they could possibly give. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. And so a lot of times when I hear a kid say that, I think to myself, what they're doing is saying, "God, I'll go anywhere." But I shared with her a philosophy. And I said to her, I said, "I want you to listen to me, okay? It always makes me nervous when a young lady comes forward and says, 'God has told me to do this with my life.'" All right, I'm going to bust your bubble a little bit here. Let me tell you what you need to focus on as a young lady. Preparing to be a wife and preparing to be a mother and staying in God's will until God brings you to the man he has prepared for you. And then ask him what God has called him to do. And then come alongside him and say, "God has designed me to be your helpmeet to help you succeed in whatever God has called you to do." I mean, I knew girls, scary girls, in Bible college. And they were going to a certain place and they were looking for a helpmeet to go with them. I'm sorry, but that's what they were doing. God had called them. Well, I'm sorry, but no, he didn't. God created Adam, put him in the garden, and said, "Here's what I want you to accomplish in this garden. Here is your job. Here is your duties. Here's the rules. Here's your responsibilities. By the way, it's not good that you're alone. I'm going to bring somebody, make somebody to be a helper designed for you, a companion helper to design for you, to help you to fulfill what I've called you to do." Now, I know the women libbers would hate to hear what I just said. If some of that women lib stuff has creeped into your heart right now, you're not real happy with me. But I am teaching you the Word of God. I'm teaching you the Bible. So I told her, I said, "You dedicate yourself." And I said, "You know what? God may be preparing your heart with a surrendered viewpoint towards the mission field, because maybe it's God's will for you to marry a missionary. But listen, be very careful about showing up to Bible college, announcing on your first day as a freshman there what God has called you to do. And every time a guy asks you out, say, 'Are you going to China?' But if you're not going to China, I'm not going on a date with you." You know, what you need to do is find out who God wants you to marry and then be a helpmeet in helping him to accomplish whatever God's will for his life is. And if that's a missionary in China, that's great. If that is a bus captain here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that's great. If that is a master's club director downstairs, that's great. You come alongside what God has called him to do and be a helper for him in helping him accomplish that. So a wife is to provide companionship and help to her husband as he fulfills God's perfect will for his life. Number two, go to Proverbs chapter number 12. We'll move around in the Bible some. Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 4. Beautiful verse. The Bible says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." A wife is to be virtuous, providing for her husband both protection and honor. Both protection and honor. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So as a wife, please be virtuous. Now, we aren't going to teach, of course, all of Proverbs chapter 31. I said the other day, was that here when I said that? That to take Proverbs 7 and Proverbs 31, I would plead that every one of you would do that. I mean that. Moms, do that and then sit down with your daughters and talk about these things. I mean that. Probably we ought to have Brother Reiser, maybe Sister Alyssa, sit down with our teenage girls in Sunday school and go through that study with. That'd be powerful. That'd be good. Because the culture is magnifying the strange woman and pointing our young ladies as if she is the role model of this culture. The strange woman is the role model for today's culture. Now you've got to decide. Are you going to let the culture dictate, you know, who you aspire to be like, or are you going to let the Word of God dictate? But virtue is so important. When a woman develops virtue in her life, she becomes a crown to her husband. But when she begins to display the tendencies of a strange woman and makes him ashamed, it's like a rottenness in his bones. So I'm going to tell you this. Listen, do that study. If there are areas in your life where you are more similar to the strange woman than the virtuous woman, in those areas of your life, you're a grief to your husband. Oh, he don't care. Yes, he does. Well, he's never said anything. He probably just figured it out. It doesn't do any good. If your life aligns more with the strange woman than the virtuous woman, then you need to make those adjustments, because when you do that, you become a crown to your husband. And so do that comparison, do that study, and just let the Lord deal with areas of your life. Let's jump over to Proverbs 31, and I'll give you the third one. Proverbs 31. Of course, this is the wonderful chapter on the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 11. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? And notice this. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Number three, a wife is to provide her husband with the security that she will always be true to him. I'm going to be very careful, because I don't think anybody would know the situation, but when I moved back to this area and we started a church in Brazil, I worked at a sawmill in Clay City. And there was a young man there, and I got to know him a little bit, and I met his fiance, and then they got married. And they'd been married about 6 months, and he found out that his new bride, after 6 months, boy, isn't this a tragedy? I hate to say this. I just hate to even say it. But she was cheating on him while he was at work. And of course, when you talk about a devastating thing, a horrible thing, horrible thing. It's horrible when a wife has to go through it with an untrue husband, and it's horrible when a husband has to go through it with an untrue wife. Horrible thing. Almost the worst possible thing I think a human being can do to another human being. But she was doing that. And then they kind of worked it out, and I think tried to get things back on track. He would come talk to me. He wasn't a saved young man, and he wasn't a church-going young man, but he'd come talk to me because of these things going on in his life. And I noticed after 2 or 3 months, when things had gotten back okay, that he was pretty upset one day at work. It was just his mind was somewhere else, and he kept messing things up. And finally, at break time, I called his name. I said, come over here. I said, man, what's going on? He said, I think everything's fine. Now watch this. He looked at me, and he said, Jerry, do you have any idea what it's like pull out of the driveway every morning to go to work and to wonder whether or not your wife is going to be true to you that day, to wonder whether or not she's planned something, to wonder whether or not she's going to meet up with somebody while you're at work? Do you have any idea? I said, be honest with you, no. I got to say, thank God, I don't know what that's like. But I just watched and saw the pain in his eyes. And let me say this. You know what, ladies? In no way should you ever cause that kind of worry in your husband's mind for 1 second. For 1 second. Now, guys, don't be psycho jealous. I mean it. I've just met husbands that just, gosh. You know, you got to go to the grocery store with her. Stop. Okay, stop. Did you marry a virtuous woman? Then your heart should safely trust in her. Stop being a psychopath. Some men are so insanely jealous that, you know, she can't go to tear oak by herself because of your insecurities. But let me say this. Ladies, don't cause insecurities. Don't cause those insecurities. And I think that would be good instruction for both directions, wouldn't it? I don't want my wife to ever watch me pull out of the driveway and say, and sit there and fret during the day whether or not I'm going to be faithful to her in all ways, in all areas, in all of my treatment with every member of the opposite gender that I come into contact with that day. I don't want her to have 1 second worry in that area of her life. And by the way, as a man, I go crazy. Let me just throw a little hint out to you guys that aren't married yet. You know how to have a good marriage? Let me just kind of give you something. Marry smart. So many guys marry dumb, and then they wonder why they live in marital agony the rest of their life. Gosh. Let me give you this idea. If you're in a relationship and you used to get to know a young lady and she likes to play the jealousy card all the time, then break that off and move on down the road. Because she's not going to stop that when you get married. Do you really want to live like that? If she's so insecure that the way she's got to get attention from you is to always be flirtatious with other people because she thinks that cool because you get jealous, and don't play that game one second. And if you're a young lady, don't play that game with a guy one second. You know what? They got problems. And you don't want to be married to those problems. Okay? So provide each other with that security, okay? I love that. You get that? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Proverbs 31, we're there. Look at verse 12. She will do good, do him good and not evil all the days of her life. 1 Corinthians 7:34, let me just read it to you for sake of time. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. A wife is to actively seek to find ways to please her husband. Hey, is there something that when you make it or cook it or bake it, it makes your husband real happy? Then make it and cook it and bake it a lot. Okay, amen. Yeah. And let me just say this. Take this principle and expound in other areas, but I'm not going anywhere but food right now, all right? I don't get this. I don't get this insanity that I see in so many marriages, Christian marriages, where it's like, I figured out that this aggravates him, so I can't wait to do it again. Are you a nut job? What? Well, I don't have a lot of hobbies, so that's what I do. And I've seen men do the same thing. It's almost like they find out something really irritates their wife, so they just do it on a regular. I don't mean in a kidding fun way. I mean just to watch her go ballistic. Are you that bored? Collect coins. You know, do something, but don't do that as a hobby. But it's crazy. I mean, I've sat there in marital counseling sometimes just listening for about 10 minutes like a ping pong match. Do-doon. 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 Well, she. Do-doon. Well, he. Do-doon. Well, she. Well, he. And I just kind of, after a little while, say, okay, stop. Are you two nuts? Because all I've heard for 10 minutes is, you know she don't like doing this, but you keep doing it. And you know, ma'am, that he don't like this, but you keep doing it. And it's not one thing. You both got 40 of them. Are you nuts? This isn't rocket science, folks. Did you hear her? Then all that stuff she mentioned? Stop! Did you hear him? Stop! Okay, now get out of here. I want to go home to my wife. I mean, stop! Okay? All right, number five. I mentioned this and talked about it, but so let me just mention it again, and I won't go into it at all. But I said to the husband, and I'll say the exact same thing to the wife, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and if we were at a couple's retreat, I'd talk to you more about it. But a wife is to give her husband due benevolence, to not defraud him. A husband and a wife both need to work to maintain a healthy, active, intimate relationship, one that is enjoyable and satisfying to both. This protects both from fornication. And again, I've watched the games being played in marriages, and it's nothing but hurtful. It's not a blessing. It's damaging, and it's potentially dangerous to that marriage. You know what? Love each other. Enough said? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's move on. Ephesians chapter 5. then look at verse 22. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. According to the Scriptures, a wife is to submit to her husband's decisions." Now again, men, I mentioned this in the last point. Your wife should feel free. Matter of fact, she shouldn't just feel free. You should encourage her to express her views. You ought to discuss things with your wives. But wives, if your husband makes a decision different from what you wish, submit to it and do it with a sweet spirit. Anything my dad has said all these years, anything with two heads is a monster. God has never created anything in this life with two heads. So that means, were you here when I preached the message, "Why My Wife Seldom Submits to Me"? How many were here when I preached that message? It's on the internet. It's in our archive sermons on the internet. You ought to listen to it. But there's a reason that you can set some things up in your marriage. I'm not going to re-preach that, where you're not always fighting over every little decision. But let me say this. Ladies, that principle and that command is very, very specific in the Bible. And so there are going to be times, and hopefully your husband has listened to you, and hopefully he's allowed you to express your viewpoint, and hopefully he's considered your viewpoint. But let me say this, sometimes a man has to follow the leading of God in an area. I love you, honey, and I've listened to you, and I've heard you, but I know that God wants me to direct our family in this direction. Now, you know what? Submit to that. And submission ought to be sweet submission. It shouldn't be, "Well, okay, I'll submit." And then he eats cornflakes three times a day for 3 weeks after that. All right? That's nonsense. Stop it. You're not submitting. You may be not arguing verbally about it, but you're still declaring war. Stop it. You know, a husband's blessed when a wife, let me say, first of all, is blessed when a husband honestly before God makes every decision as before Almighty God with his wife and his children in full consideration and their viewpoints in full consideration. A wife's blessed if she has that kind of husband. But a husband is blessed if he can look at his wife and say, "Honey, I know that this isn't what you wanted us to do in this situation, but you know what, I've prayed about it and I've thought about it and I have listened to you, and I just know that this is what God wants us to do." And have that wife say, "Honey, that's fine. I appreciate you listening to me. And you know what, if that's the decision, it's a done deal from now on. Both me and you are going to work together to make that decision come to fruition, and not another word is said about it." And you know what? She goes sweetly forward as his companion and his helpmeet to implement his decision. Not try to sabotage his decision so that she can say, "Well, I see, I told you it wouldn't work." But to sweetly come beside him and help him in putting into motion what the decision he's made. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Number 7, a wife should reverence. That word reverence means to be respectful towards her husband. You know what? A man that does not feel like his wife respects him is a man that just becomes a shell of a man. There are some things, ladies, that you probably are not going to understand. You just need to listen to the Bible and trust God that he knows. He created man. He knows what he's talking about. But a man, listen, don't belittle your husband. Don't talk down about your husband. Don't talk bad about your husband. Don't get with a bunch of other ladies and run him down. Don't do that. Don't disrespect your husband. Don't treat him disrespectfully. Because you know what? Him knowing that he has your respect is huge in his life. Huge in his life. So be very careful about that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've got about 6 minutes, so we'll cover a couple more. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll notice verse number 11. By the way, if you look at chapter 3, back off, take a glance up above this instruction. First of all, we have the qualifications of a bishop, a preacher, and then we have the qualifications of a deacon, and then we also have a note to the wives of the deacons in verse number 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. Now if we back it up to verse 8, it says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, nor not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. But let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so. In other words, listen, great, it's great, sir, that you meet the qualifications to be used in a capacity as a deacon. But even so, so just as importantly, must their wives be grave, not slander, sober, faithful in all things. Now, let me give you this thought, ladies. A wife should avoid sinful habits that would prevent her husband from being used in whatever capacity God might choose for him to be used in. Now, I will tell you, and if I'm wrong, Pastor Ross, tell me, but I know that he knows this is true. We've had discussions about it. But there are men that I'm convinced ought to be pastoring churches right now, and they couldn't. They couldn't. And it wasn't that they didn't have the calling and they didn't have the qualifications. It's just that they had a wife that had sinful habits, stubborn, willful, sinful habits in her life that she was not going to give up. And now he no longer can pastor. There's men that ought to have been plugged in churches all over this country as deacons. Good men, servants heart, qualified. And you know what? A pastor sits in his office and said, man, I could use the help of that man as a deacon, but you know what? I can't. Because he doesn't have a deacon's wife. Doesn't have a deacon's wife. Now, it doesn't have to be just a pastor and a deacon. I would be, as a wife, I would want to make sure that there was nothing in my life that would cause God to say, you know what, I'd like to use that man in this capacity, but I can't because of her. Now you think about that. Register that. Let that sink into you. And so as a wife, these short few things that are listed, I'd take seriously. I'd do a study of. I'd take a good hard look at. Because silly, gossiping, unfaithful women shouldn't be put near any position of responsibility in the church. Because you know what? All they're going to do is cause a pastor and a church heartache and problems and misery. And y'all know, if there's any sin that I probably get a little angry about, it's because I know what the Bible says about it. I try to have the same emotions that God has about things. But, lady, if I know that you're a gossip, I probably won't use your husband for much of anything. I'm just flat telling you. Because you'll cause this church and this preacher more heartache and cause your husband more embarrassment than I can shake a stick at. So I'm just flat telling you. You go ahead and just continue doing that sin and sit there with your stubborn will, and doesn't matter who says what, you and your girls are going to keep your mouths flapping and keep things stirred up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Fine. Fine. I don't have any sway over it, except from this pulpit condemning it as God condemns it in this book. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm no dummy. And it's so sad. It's sad. Because many times I look at the husband in that situation and think, man, have I got a spot for him? There's a great door of opportunity for that man. But I can't get her to shut her mouth around here. So I can't use it. You can understand this, not understand it. Let me just give you a little peek behind the scenes here, okay? I've sat in every deacon's meeting almost that my dad had in the 11 years I was assistant pastor. You know what? We have to discuss things sometimes in deacon's meetings that needs to stay in that room. You mean you got secrets? Yeah. You don't need to know everything about everybody or every situation that happens in this church. Some of you think you do, but you don't. I can't have a man in there who can't wait. She's at the door like this when he comes home from the deacon's meeting. What'd he say? What'd he say? What'd he say? What'd he talk about? What'd he say? What'd he say? What'd he talk about? You're like Delilah. You're going to keep after him until he shares all of his heart. And then in the next 24 hours after that, you're going to have 6,000 cell phone minutes and 12,000 texts. You know what? I'm kind of having some fun with this, but shame on you. You have an addiction that's worse than meth. You have a sin addiction that's worse than alcohol. Yeah. You've got a sin addiction that's worse than pornography. You have a sin addiction to gossip. A sin addiction to gossip. And as one preacher said, you know what? Some of you need to come up here and lay your tongue on the altar. And that's why we got a pretty long altar. And we can open that door and it can roll out the rest of the way out on down the stairs if we need to. But I'm telling you, more than any other sin in the church, you pastor a church, more than any other sin, the thing that keeps a bunch of nonsense stirred up is men, because men a lot of times are as big a gossips as women, men and or women that just cannot keep from yakka all the time about everything. And man, if they find out something bad, everybody's going to know it. That to me is so disappointing. Now, I'm kind of, once again, as I've come in the last 5 years of my ministry, how many times have I come to this pulpit and addressed this issue? But I am begging you, from the depths of my heart, I am begging you to get in the book of Proverbs and do a Bible study on talebearing and see it for the sin that it is and confess it and repent of it and cleanse your life of it. And if you have to take your cell phone and throw it in Shackamack Lake for a year, then throw it in Shackamack Lake for a year. But stop it. Stop it. I'm tired of running around trying to fix things all the time that words have caused. The damage that a loose tongue causes. Little caustic comments. You know, I'm about to mount some big signs in our nursery that says a no gossip zone. And that nursery is one place we don't have male leadership and can't. And you know what? Notoriously, it's the biggest problem area in our church. Notoriously. I can't have a male nursery director. Maybe I should try that. We haven't ever tried that. Brother Tom, you want to be... Not interested at all in that.
I just want food.
Ladies, could you look up here? I don't know. I don't know of another ministry area in the world where a director can go to somebody and say, hey, I need your help. Could you come help me? No, I'm not going to do it. I don't know of another ministry area at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I've never had that happen in my life at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. In a crisis situation where we needed some help, where I ever or sent Brother Tim or sent anybody to anybody and they didn't say, sure, here, I'll be glad to help. But for some reason, we can't get it accomplished back there. I want it done this way. Well, pastor wants it done this way. Then I won't work in the nursery. You know, all you're doing is showing who you are. All you're doing is showing who you are. And all you're doing, whether you understand this or not, ladies, is limiting what God can use your husband to be and what God can use your husband to do. So stop it. I can't babysit the nursery. By the way, we put those monitors back there, spend all that money, leave them on. All of a sudden, some ladies just decide they don't think the monitors need to be on. Okay. Mrs. Pastor, would you sign my Bible after church? You don't need to make any decision. You just need to go back there with a sweet spirit and realize it is the privilege, it's a great privilege to care for precious little babies here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church so that mamas every once in a while can sneak in and hear a sermon without constantly being distracted. That's all you need to do. All the drama needs to stop. All the silliness needs to stop. All the gossip needs to stop. All the little caustic comments needs to stop. Stop it. Stop it. What's so hard about this? And so what I'm saying is this. You know what? A pastor that has to constantly deal with this stuff pretty soon just has to, I'm sorry, you may not like this, but all of a sudden you develop a list over here of people that have wonderful nuclear potential that could be used in so many wonderful ways, but you know what? You cannot use them in any meaningful position because all it's going to be is problems, 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 heartache, fights, bickering, envy, jealousy, pettiness. You can't get them out of junior high. You can't get them out of junior high. And the work of the Lord Jesus Christ deserves so much better than that. So much better than that. Okay? You think, Brother Jerry, you think the nursery is full of rampant sin? No, I don't. I think for the most part, on most services, it goes smooth, it goes well, and we've got some of the finest ladies in our church that work there and do a great job. But some of you need to get a hold of what your pastor's saying. By the way, husbands, I hope that your wife will come home if she's involved in this. I hope she gets in the car with a broken heart tonight. I hope she says, you know what, I've disappointed my preacher and I've disappointed my church, and he's exactly right. I'm done with that. If she gets in the car mad, you need to have a talk with her. No, man, you need to get a spine and have a talk with her. And say, you know what? We're not doing this. Oh, that's how he feels. I just won't work there anymore. Oh, super Christian. God bless you. Thank you. That's a help. Are you getting this? Let's, and folks, as much as I don't want to keep going on about this, but as much as I'm telling you, I've been preaching 30 years. I've been pastoring a long time. Pastored 7 years before I came here, 5 years since, assistant pastor. I've had to do the behind-the-scenes workings enough that I just, as a pastor, sometimes need to say, listen to me. This needs to stop at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's not rampant. It's not everybody, but it's enough that some of you older ones are already training the younger ones how to be wrong in these areas. Stop it. Okay? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use what was said tonight to hit some reset buttons in our church here. I pray, Lord, that every man and every lady, every teenager that is privileged to serve in any capacity here, Lord, help us to show up with a Christ-like spirit, Christ-like attitude, a servant's heart. The joy of the Lord, smile on our face, positive word. Make us, Lord, Christian as we serve others here in the different ministries. We pray in Jesus' name.